Hi, this is Mary Elizabeth Macari calling myself the Magic Apothecary, coming to you from Brooklyn, New York, with a podcast about the Sabbat Ostara. So many of you might know what that is. We're talking about the spring equinox, which happens in the Northern Hemisphere in March. And it's either sometime between March 19th and March 21st, when it is exactly equinox. What does that mean? What's an equinox? And why do we celebrate it? And what's this whole holiday about? Well, I'm going to try to tell you. So here we go. So what's an equinox? We start with that. An equinox is when night and day are equal. And if you've noticed recently out in the world, you've looked to the sky and up at the trees, you see not only just a little bit of budding, but things are starting to come up out of the ground. You'll see your daffodils and you'll see your violets and you'll see all kinds of buds happening in different plants out there. Plus, if you have birds in your area like I do in mine, you're definitely going to know that they are mating, as are cats and raccoons and all kinds of mammals out there. And because it is that season when everything rises again and fertility is fresh and new, and chickens are actually laying their eggs, as well as the birds doing the same. So it's a very active time for our nature, the nature of the world in the Northern Hemisphere. It is the opposite time of the year in the Southern Hemisphere, where it is the harvest time down there, and they're getting ready for their winter to come in soon, so we're getting ready for our summer to come in. So here we are. And in New York City, I am here in 2019 in March. It's a big spring equinox because we have a full moon on that same day, and this is a big, the 21st of March, it's a big full moon, it's a super moon, and we're having a retrograde in Mercury, and all kinds of astrological insanity is happening. So that's a good thing for your rituals and for Ostara in general. So let's talk about, what is Ostara? Well, Ostara is Ostre. It's a Norse goddess. She was an Anglo-Saxon Norse goddess of spring. She represents the East, resurrection and rebirth, and is also the maiden in the triple aspect of the goddess. Remember, we're going to have a mating very soon on Beltane, our Sabbat of Beltane, between the god and the goddess. So right now we have a maiden goddess. Also, we have in the Greek version of this holiday or this time of the year, we have a rising of a goddess named Persephone, who rises from the underworld with her husband Hades, who releases her to be with her mother Demeter, the goddess of cereal and grain, and it allows her to rise and join her mother again for this time of the year, and he rules the underworld by himself at this time of the year. So that's also it, and Persephone remains a maiden goddess for all of her life, even though she is married to Hermes, or at least the queen of the underworld with Hermes. There's a lot of different goddesses besides these two. Also, Freya is a goddess of the spring and resurrection of life after the winter. She is also, there's another goddess named Induna, who bore the apples of eternal youth in the underworld. And many believe that Ostara and Induna are the same and represent the same principle. Also, the Greek goddess Eos, the goddess of the dawn, is another one that is at this time of the year. The goddess of the dawn, the goddess of the dawn of the new year. Also, we're entering on March 20th. We enter into the sign of Aries, Aries the ram, which is the first sign of the astrological year. So here we go. An equinox. Well, what does this mean? It means that the Earth is actually standing on a sort of an even vertical plane. It's not tilted away from the sun. It's not tilted towards the sun. If it's away from the sun, we tilt in the Northern Hemisphere. If we tilt away from the sun, we are going towards winter. If we're tilting towards the sun, we are going towards the summer, the hotter time of the year. But right now, we are right between the two times. I have in my past, and I love to do this, on the very moment, let's see if I can find it this time, the very moment of Ostara time, you can put eggs on their ends. Somebody had asked me, can we do this on the fall equinox too? You know, I've never tried it, but we could probably. There's a time when the exact time of it will be, this one is March equinox 2019, will be at 5:58 p.m. on Wednesday, March 20th. That's Eastern time, by the way, you can adjust to that. So 5:58 p.m. on Wednesday, March 20th. So if you feel like really celebrating the equinox in a very interesting way, they have to be raw eggs, and you have to have a level surface. So look for a good level surface. A lot of people use stone fences or gates, so because they know that somebody's actually tried to level them off or staircases, and you put the eggs on their ends vertically, and they stand up. I have actual pictures to prove it. So it's a lot of fun to do that, and that's one of the traditional foods of this time of the year. So if you're planning up a ritual, it's time to think about, if you're not allergic and you can handle them, eggs. So let's talk about other parts of this holiday. So when we talk about Sabbats in Wicca, if you're a Wiccan, a traditional British Wiccan witch, or if you're a witch of any sort, we talk about a ritual on a Sabbat. Do we want to have a religious ceremony that includes the god and goddess, perhaps? Do we want a religious ceremony of some sort that is very open and eclectic and just a meal and a feast? Sure, why not? Lots of people do both. So it's up to you to decide what you want to do. If you want to call in a goddess, then I would say start with looking for these goddesses of the dawn and of the spring and see if you want to represent one of those during your ritual. And how you do that is just to use either a statue or a picture or even a small thing like a chick or something that represents a small tiny plant shoot or something growing and on your altar. And that could just represent Persephone if you wanted to bring her in, or any other goddess of the dawn or of the spring. So you could also think about a god that you want to invoke at this time of the year. And the green man might be a good idea because it is becoming into his time where greening is happening and we are growing, and it might be nice to invoke his power at this time of the year. Or you can research other gods and goddesses that are from all around the world, and you can decide to place them on your altar in any way you like. I always warn, in my own opinion, I feel like it's important to try to keep within one pantheon. A pantheon is a group of gods or goddesses that come from one area. You don't have to, but other people, myself and other people, have mixed and found not the best outcomes. And also, when you're working with a pantheon, you want to make sure that the gods and goddesses that you put together to work get along. So, you know, a lot of people just go with the generic. They'll just put on a symbolism of the goddess being an egg, the womb, you know, the growth, and the god being the green growth of whatever outside. A lot of people use things like buds, like pussy willows, or small buds that you can buy in a florist or find out in the wild, which is, of course, always better. Please take only what you need and no more, and thank the plants you take from. Even if you buy them from the florist, remember to acknowledge the plant spirit within that thing you're using for a sacrifice, really, on your altar, or if you're cutting down or mixing any sort of incense. So let's talk about the four elements that can be on your altar. You have earth, air, fire, and water. So let's start with earth. Well, what represents earth at this time of the year? A lot of people like to use bowls or plates or cups that are the color of the season. I love to use green, light green, if I can find chartreuse or yellows, or sometimes pinks or like violet purples. And those can be any kind of vessel that you can hold earth in. And earth at this time of the year can be earth. Perhaps it's best to go into the garden or dig under a tree somewhere and find some really rich earth that is full of water and goodness from the winter just passing, and full of life and growth of bacteria and whatever else is in there, and put that on your altar, because earth itself is a living thing at all times. So that's very powerful. If you don't have that or don't want to do that, you can use any sorts of rocks, any sorts of crystals. If you want, you can look for green crystals. That might be fun. Quartz crystals are always a good stand-in for any other kind of crystal. If you can't find green ones or purple ones, you can maybe use amethyst to represent the violet if you like. So there's a whole ton of ideas that you can just riff off of if you want. That's earth. Air. A lot of people like to use it this time of the year, myself included, incense. But I like to use incense at this time of the year with feathers. If I can find feathers, it means a lot to me because the birds are actually mating and I hear them and I just feel really a close affinity to birds. But that's my thing. But air of any sort will work. You can use feathers. You can use incense. You can use stick incense. You can use incense with charcoal. You can use cone incense. Just please be careful and make sure that you have a receptacle that is fireproof and won't burn through and make a hole in your table or cause any problems with anything you have on the altar. So that's an important thing. Earth, air, fire. of course, we need fire. Candles are perfect for fire, right? Some people don't like to use candles, feel uncomfortable with candles. And so I always say a battery operated candle is electric. Electric is fire. That counts to me. So if it counts to you, go for it. And also, there are people that cannot have altars out in homes and places. So a little tiny battery operated candle or a flashlight is fine to use if you must be discreet. And that goes for anything else on the altar. You know, a little thimble of water is fine. And also a little tiny feather is fine. You can make a little tiny travel altar with little small things like that as well. And many people have them on their office desks to protect themselves or to call in magic when they're working. So if that's something that appeals to you, go ahead and do that. Water, I said, can be in a bowl of any sort. Some people like to cleanse this water by adding salt to it so that it represents the ocean herself. Or you can just have clear water from a brook or a stream, which if you have that, you are lucky because that's melted snow and ice and very, very, very potent types of water you can use on your altar. Or it can just be tap water or water from a bottle if you have. All of that counts and all of that is fine. Now you have your gods, your goddesses, your four elements. And you can put something in the center, both for power work, if you wanted to give the god and goddess maybe a token of your appreciation, an offering, or you can just use it to have another candle in that represents the equality of night and day. And one way you can do that, and a lot of people like to do this, aside from, I like color, but some people like to use black and white, and black and white being equal, yin and yang, on and off. People like to use those two colors on an equinox, and that would be very dramatic, kind of great and stark and wonderful. And so if you wanted to have a black and white candle on your altar or in your cauldron or in the center, that might be a good way to go. I think I'm going to do that this time. I like that idea. So some people like to have oils blended for the season, and I had just been talking to a very famous witch named Lady Rhea, who had the podcast up just today that is very much a witch that blends oils. And so you can look through her books, or you can find other formularies online with mixtures of oils that you can make yourself very inexpensively, or you can just dip some flour or some kind of herb into oil, and you can make your own sort of magical oil used for just one time, like you would any kind of infused olive oil, say. And you can use that, and you can put it back to the ground when you're done. Because plants and oils sometimes get very, moldy. They'll mold, and they won't be healthy to use after one or two times, unless you boil them in oil, and that's a whole big process, which you can find. You can look up online infused oils, and you can make herbal infused oils on your own, and you can start them earlier than your Sabbath, and then they're ready for you then. So that's all a bunch of ideas for your altar. You can use an altar cloth that's light green or black and white, like I said, that's all fine. I suppose if you really want to research different kinds of pantheons, like say for instance, I've been working a lot with Isis, and there's also Osiris. Isis and Osiris are mentioned in a lot of Ostara lore for a pair that can be used on the altar at this time. So just a quick Google search and a few thumbings through books that you might have will really help you make a difference in your celebration. So here's foods you can have: eggs, honey, well, fresh honey, breads, fresh breads, seeds, sprouts, and green leafy vegetables. You can have drinks like wine, dandelion wine, teas, different new, you know, teas, fresh teas, flowers and herbs that can be on your altar or even used in your incense. We have here crocus flowers, daffodils, Easter lilies, fresh little roses, strawberries. By the way, I'm getting strawberries growing. I didn't know, I'd never planted them before, and it's the first time I ever had them outside, and we had a pretty cold winter, and guess what's growing more than anything else? Strawberries. Interesting. You can have acorns, which are coming down now, or fresh pine tips, honeysuckle. And again, with the incense that you create, could be anything really, as long as it makes sense with the timing. But if you're stuck for any kind of a incense, you can always go with frankincense or myrrh. Also, you can use stones on your altar to bring in power, like rose quartz, aquamarine, amethyst, jasper, and moonstones. So that's like a lot of things to have on your altar, but each and every one of us is different and likes to have different kinds of representations. So again, being a witch and doing this kind of work, you are free, really, to create your own way. If you're a solitary witch, you have, can do whatever you like. But if you're a witch that works with others, it's fun to give each person maybe a certain responsibility, a certain part of it to work on, or, you know, take over it yourself and invite your friends over and have a lovely time. So you can find online tons and tons of Ostara chants and music. Right now I'm playing on Spotify, which is a free musical service. There's a playlist called Ostara. So you can just check that out, and you can play that during your ritual, or you can learn a song or two or a chant or two and use that during your ritual. So I have one here. It says here, the wheel of the year is now turning, the day and the night the same length. Ostara is ruling the springtime. The sun child is gaining his strength. Sow your seeds now in the springtime. The goddess gives her blessing to the land, renews the life force of the earth. The sun lord's coming is at hand. So there's a chant. And I found that, just typed that in while I was talking to you on the internet. So, perfect. So, some people like to actually call all four quarters, which it means the earth, air, fire, and water, protectors of the, what they call watchtowers, some people call, or we call it elemental spirits, or we can, some people call fairies, some people call angels, as you're calling in something from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And you'll have to decide how you want to do that, if you're going to do that. And of course, if you're interested, you can always cast a magic circle and do magic during your ritual. That's it. That's a Sabbat. You can celebrate it any way you like, outside maybe, or at the beach. If you're in a warmer area in the southern parts of the northern hemisphere, you probably do have growth already. Or if you're out in the west, more towards the equator, you definitely have growth already. You can then make a feast for yourself with any and all of these foods. People like to use shoots and things like asparagus and cook those up, or use fresh mushrooms if you have them and only if they're safe. And any kind of traditional foods your family or your traditional life might have used on Easter. I happen to be half Italian, and Easter is a big deal. Pasqua in Italy is a huge thing. And so I know very well that a lot of people eat things like lamb, and they have a lot of pastas and a lot of different kinds of things coming up, you know, eggs and chickens and small animals. But I'm a vegetarian, like so many Wiccans are, so many pagans are. So to me, it's all vegetables and pasta, perhaps. And of course, you always want to celebrate by having cakes and ale in your circle. And so you can take a look at what might be a great cake to have at this time of the year. You can make cookies, you can buy cookies, you can use a cake from a box. It doesn't really matter. You're blessing that. And you might, if you are not having trouble with any alcohol, have mead or a fresh light wine or white wine to use in the ritual, or beer that's fresh. Or you can create some kind of fermented beverage that is fresh, using fresh ingredients. Or not, it can just be fresh water, or it can just be soda, or it could be anything, as long as you let your imagination go wild with you. Magic you might want to do on this day would be magic for new beginnings and for equality. Also, what is it that I need to have happen in the next season of planting? What am I planting? What am I growing? Remember, after our Sabbath of Beltane, which is a very heavy growth and fertility Sabbath, which I'll talk about next month, we have the decline of the year from midsummer on, from June 21st on. So these four Sabbaths, the major Sabbaths of the year, are the solstices and the equinox. Yule is a solstice that happens in December, when we are at the darkest day, and the longest night and the shortest day. Coming up is Ostara, that is an equinox, where they are equal both day and night. Then we have the summer solstice, which is when there's more light than dark, more of a day and less of a night. And then we go back into the fall equinox, where there is equality, and then back into the dark time of the year. So it's very much just celebrating where we are on the planet and what's happening around us. And that's it. One of the things I loved when I was first pagan, or first coming into paganism way back, was just really, really not marking the fact that this time of the year represents these things, eating these foods, staying local with that, understanding what the birds are actually doing out there, what's happening, why is the breeze different, why does it smell like that, why is the sky the color it is. Our ancestors knew all these things, and they watched for these signs to know when the season would change. As a matter of fact, when they could plant. It's not time to plant yet. Most people in the north where I am are waiting a few more weeks. But in the south, as I said, and in the west, people are already starting to have a small light harvest. Again, milk at this time of the year too is much more thick, and because there are babies being born, so it's full of colostrum and full of fat. So milk at this time of the year is much more nutritious than it had been through the winter when there were no babies. And also eggs are much, much, much more healthy and much, if you're a vegetarian, not a vegan, they are much more full of life. They're being laid with full of fertility and full of life and magic. And a lot of people do use eggs at this time of the year for not only consumption, but also for magic. You can boil your eggs. A lot of pagans will boil their eggs just like everyone else kind of does at Easter, who does that. And they dye them red, representing the blood of the mother, the womb of the mother, where all things come from. And also celebrating the toddler, young man, that is the god. He is now born. He's been born at Yule. And so he's gone through Imolc and been blessed and milked and breastfed by his mother. And now he is on his own two feet walking around. So you assume he's around 10 or so years old. His life goes pretty quick in the year. But that's what we're also representing. So if that's something you want to, you know, wear garlands, you can have the men in your circle represent the young god, bring that up within themselves, and women can bring that same energy back up within themselves as the young maiden, the virginal young maiden, ready to begin her life. Also, a lot of things that are available now and people are using for symbols is the rabbit. And at the time of the year, this is the rabbit's time of the year. So magic with rabbits, animal magic with rabbits, with birds, very, very powerful at this time of the year. So that's what I have for Ostara. That's pretty much it for now with that Sabbat. The full moon is coming and we've discussed full moons. Full moon is a time of increase. So I can do full moons based on sign, but full moon in general, if you wanted to combine both your Ostara ritual and your full moon ritual, it's really kind of a great thing to do because we're talking about increase on both sides. And the full moon is like the pinnacle of the increase. And Ostara is the when the earth is at its total, you know, the place where it's totally standing straight up and full of power before it turns towards summer. So it's quite the powerful day coming up if you have a chance to make a full moon ritual, including magic and invocation of God and goddess and real serious meditations and discussions amongst you and your friends or your coven mates or yourself in a journal to discover where you're going, what's happening now, where am I, what's the next step for me, what have I learned thus far this year from December 21st till now, and where can I take it next, what are my desires, what do I want the gods to hear from me, and what do I want next. And it's a wonderful day to combine both those things. So if you just wanted to have a feast, that is totally fine. But if you wanted to have a really intense ritual this year, March 2019, this is the one you want to really jump into with two feet and have a good, deep, magical time. So that's me, and that's the whole of the Ostara talk. If you have any questions or want to learn more about the Sabbat or want to get in touch with me for readings, spells, or anything else that I might do, you can visit me at themagicapothecary.com. That's themagicapothecary.com. Or you can write to me at themagical, M-A-G-I-C-A-L, apothecary at gmail.com, and I'll answer questions. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on the internet very easily. So if you want to reach out and say hi, and if you want to share this podcast, please feel free to do so. And I thank you very much for listening and for learning and being interested. And may the God and Goddess give you everything you ever wished and desired for, and may you have a blessed Ostara. Thank you very much.